Let's let the musicians go to their seats. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And he's happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And so we just thank the Lord for his goodness to us. And we'll get into the scriptures this morning. Some of the Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Another year is almost gone. Coming down so quickly. My goodness. First Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 13. The scripture says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's bow our hearts to him for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we have always known and standing before this people that just mortal man can open the words to this book, Lord, but it takes your Holy Spirit to open the meaning of this book, Lord, and to seal it away in the hearts of your people. And so, Lord, I stand here this morning, Lord, just as a vessel that needs your presence and your anointing to cause me to speak. And Lord, just as your people would need you to anoint them to be able to hear and enter into the spirit of what's being said this morning by you, we ask God that you would help us each one. Lord, that this service would be a glory to you, that your people would be enlightened, Lord, that they'd understand more about their walk, more about you, more about the battle that's before them and how to win it. We ask God that you would help us this morning in the all-sufficient and the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. This morning I want to talk to you about the way of holiness. The way of holiness. And specifically, why do we choose the way of holiness? I mean, believes that there is a holy lifestyle.
Amen.
And there is a way of holiness. And I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about the way of holiness and why we choose the way of holiness. As we read in the scriptures, it said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so Peter's talking there, and he says, "Now gird up the loins of your mind." And I think I mentioned this once before, but he said, "Gird up the loins of your mind." And so when you think about that, think about a garment that you might have, and think about somebody in the Middle East as they would have their garment on. Long flowing, and how that the wind would blow the garment in whatever direction the wind would blow. We understand that religions and teachings are like the winds, or the winds of doctrine, the scriptures refer to. And so Peter is telling us here to gird up the loins of your mind, because, and I want to show you here, this is speaking of action, okay? This is speaking of action. It means it's something that you need to do. It's not something that's going to take care of itself, but he's telling you that your thoughts are going to flow in the wind. So if the doctrines are what's going this way, or if the wind's blowing the other way, your thoughts are going to go in these directions. So he says, gird up. So when you gird up and you strap up and tie up your garment so it doesn't flow in the wind. Everybody follow that? So that's what he's telling you, is that your thoughts are like this. That your thoughts need to be cinched down by you. Right? He's not going to do it for you, but he's telling you. You cinch down your thoughts. You make it to where your thoughts don't flow whichever way the wind's blowing.
That's right.
So whichever way humanity thinks and what the popular opinion is and what the world thinks, that's not for you and I. That's not for the believer. The believer is to cinch those things down and tie your thoughts down so that they, and I'm tying this to holiness now, okay? Because it's something you've got to do. So this is speaking of action. To tie those things down, the loins of your mind, so they don't just flow whichever way the wind blows. And it speaks of obedience, as obedient children, right?
Yeah.
Obedient children, but obedient to what? If you're asking for someone to be obedient, there has to be something that they're to be obedient to. And I'm saying that now because there's so much of the church world that want to call themselves Christians, but they don't adhere to anything scriptural, anything godly. You don't see any difference in their life, see? And that's why I say that. So he says, as obedient children, an obedient child obeys their parent, obeys the instructions that's given to them. And so he's talking about that. And he says, it's talking about separation here because he says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. The former lust, what your lust would be is as born into this world without a born-again experience, just after the things that is natural to the flesh and the things the world wants, but he's telling us to not be fashioning ourselves after that former lust. And that tells you right there's a separation taking place. Yeah. To separate ourselves from the old ways of the first man and to be separated from those things. And he said, so not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And so here he also is speaking about our intelligence and not man's intelligence, but God's intelligence. So that now that the revelation of Jesus Christ has come to us and we realize the things of God, we have been elevated into the intelligence of God to know that that old lifestyle is wrong. Because it was in our ignorance that we did those things, right? It was in, because remember, sin really is unbelief.
That's right.
So we unbelief, we have a disbelief of the truth, we do those things. But once we have a knowledge of the truth, then that constrains us to be a different person and not live the way we used to. And so Peter takes these things right here, as we're saying, this little discourse that I've described here of the scriptures we read, he takes that and he ties that and he says, for it's written, be ye holy. For I am holy. That's God speaking, right? God says, you be holy because I'm holy.
Yep.
So what he's really saying, God's really saying, you be me. You be like me. You take upon you the nature that I have. Well, of course, and Peter's showing you that if you take upon you the nature of holiness, you're not going to let your mind just drift. You're going to cinch it down to the truth and to the Word. You're going to be obedient as obedient children to the Word. You're not going to be fashioning yourself like the old former lust. You're not going to be going after the old former lust and those things. You're a different person. So you're a separated person. So what is holiness? Well, we've right off the bat, we say, well, that's God. He's holy. And it is. It's God. He's holy. But it's also anything that's set apart to Him. If you go into the scriptures, you'll find out that when God would take something to Himself, when He took the Levites, they'd become a holy people because He would take them, even Israel, when He drew them out of all the other nations and said, you're going to be my people, you're the holy people. Right? He pulled the Levites out and they became holy. And when He would take the firstborn, it became holy. And if there was an offering that came to Him, it was holy. It was a holy mountain. Not the mountain, but the God that was on the mountain. Why? Because God chose to use that mountain to come down. So, you see, anything that God would take to Himself, to express Himself, to show Himself, His plan and all that He is, that's holy. Anything sanctified to Him. So, He's holy, and anything for His purpose is holy. Okay? But still, yeah, what is holiness? And I looked up the definition. They say holy refers to divine. And that which has its sanctity directly from God or is connected with Him. So it's sanctified or sanctity is to be set apart, cleaned up and set apart. So anything that's cleaned up and set apart, set aside for God, that's holy, just like He's holy. Everybody follow that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going further into what we're trying to get to here. So God is holy, and those things that are set apart to Him is holy. But why is God holy? Why? I mean, what is this characteristics about holiness? What makes it holy? Because you can set something apart. My wife can cook a pan of biscuits, and she can take a biscuit, and she can set it over to the side, and she can tell my children, that biscuit belongs to your dad. That's his biscuit. It's set apart, right? But it's not holy. But if I was holy, and it was set apart to me, then it would become holy. So when something's set apart, it takes upon it the nature of the one it's purposed for.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm talking about? So it wouldn't be a holy biscuit, but if that biscuit was set aside for God, then you could say that's a holy biscuit because it's been sanctified for His purpose. See, so it is a sanctification, but it's a special sanctification, a special characteristic. And so God is holy because of who He is, because of His characteristics and His abilities. Okay? We set Him apart. We have the ability right now this morning, as we've said many times, you can set this place apart in your mind and have the right approach. And God will meet you here because you've set it apart in your mind to be. This is where we're going to meet God. And He'll meet you there.
Amen.
But if you come in here without this being sanctified in your mind, you're probably going to leave disappointed because God's not going to meet you like He would if you sanctify that in your mind.
Right.
Okay? So you sanctify this place and your gatherings and your time and your prayer time and your reading time and coming to church and all those things. Whatever you can do in your life to sanctify for God, God will meet you in that. That'll become holy. That will express holiness. So God is holy because He is set apart. Not just in our mind, but God in His very essence is set apart. He's the only one with the character that He's got. He's the only form of eternal life, right? He comes nowhere else. He's the only one that could save us and did save us. Of all the things that He could have done, He could have said, "Brother Daniel, I'm going to give you all the money you'll ever need. You'll never want for money, but if you had all that and lost your soul, what would you gain?" So what did He do? He didn't mess with all this in-between stuff, piddly things. He went right straight for what mattered most, and that was to purchase your eternal life. He, the greatest, became lowest to die for the worst to make Him the best. Right? That's exactly what He did. And so for you and I, if we were looking at it going, well, you know what? I think the person that we should honor or the being that we should honor the most is the one that's done the most for us. Makes sense to me. We wouldn't honor a football player that signed an autograph or did a card or something like that, put his name on a card or something. That you might think that was great, but that didn't give you eternal life. You see what I'm saying? So we should naturally be thankful for the one who's given us the most and done the most for us, and that's eternal life. So He was the only one that could do it. He's the only one that had the abilities and the qualities to do it. And to me, that sets Him apart from all others.
Amen.
That sets Him apart. And so He's automatically, in His essence, He is set apart from all others. He's already sanctified a being to Himself, a class to Himself that nobody else can touch. And being that in that class, that's where our salvation comes from, we owe everything to Him.
Amen.
And nothing else should receive the honor and glory that He deserves. So He's holy. He's holy. He's set aside because of that. Because of His very essence and very nature. And so, everything about Him has to do with life. You know, the Scriptures, Jesus said, "I come to do my Father's will, and His will, the Father's will, is to seek and save that which is lost."
Yeah.
He didn't say, "My Father's will is to come down and joke around and piddle around and be lazy and institute some sort of something that don't really save man, be wasting time and efforts in something that doesn't produce anything." The Father's will was to come down right straight to the point, save those which are lost, grab them, take them back to glory, and finish the thing. That's the Father's will. See? Now, we in our nature, we like to joke around and have a good time and all these different things. But my point is that's very inefficient. See? Very inefficient. God is about being efficient, doing the things that's saving life. And so everything about His character is pertaining to life and saving those that are lost. So every opinion He has, every rule that He put forth, everything He set forth was all for one purpose, and that was to save those which are lost. And that was to redeem them, which is to bring back. And you understand, to bring back, to take us back to a place where we once held with Him to begin with, speaking of predestination. And so everything is pertaining to life. And anything contrary to Him, anything contrary to what He stands for, Anything contrary to his instructions. Because everything about him is to save you. Everything he gives forth is to help you. So anything contrary to that is death. Everybody follow that? That's exactly the truth. Everything else contrary to that. So as you can find something, some little something out here and there for him, then you can agree with that. And you could, if they have a little something they want to, a way they want to do something, maybe for a government, if our government would rise up with some law and that law would glorify God, we could go for it. But they don't ever do that. You see what I'm saying? They don't do that. But if you, you know, if they did, then you could. And so, anything that will, amen him. Remember, that's one thing Brother Ram said, that the believer, he says amen to every word of God. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can totally line up and walk it, you know, which you desire to.
Right.
But in your heart, you're saying, amen, that's right, that's right, that's right. I'm not making excuses to say that's not true because if it hit me,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, woe is me because I'm not there, but that's right.
Amen.
See, that's what the believer does. They'll say, that's the truth. And so everything about him is life, and anything contrary to that is death. And so this is his preference. This is his choices. Now, he chooses, and I realize, you know, God can't choose something. He can't choose to want something bad. You understand that? But I'm trying to put it in terms that you understand. Holiness and life and his character, these are his choice, because God has free will agent. Right? God has free choice. He's sovereign. He chooses to do what he wants. Right? And he gave you free will agent. You can choose to do what you want. Right? And in that, he visits you and works out the plan of salvation. And so, but the way of holiness, his character, his nature, and all that he stands for, to be about only that which is good and right and promotes life, that's his preference. Because if he wanted to be something different, he would be. You understand? That's his preference. He chooses that, and he wants you to choose the same thing. He wants you to choose in agreement with his choice. But he won't make you do it. He gives you free choice to choose to be in agreement with him. And so, that is his preference. Now, how many knows? We all know. He purchased us.
Right.
She'll bring up 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll read a few verses there that talks about that, that goes with what I'm going to say. And Paul is writing. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body. Not just in your spirit, not just in your personal walk, not in your private prayer time, but God wants you to glorify him in your body. That's an outward expression, see, to glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. How many realize that your body belongs to God too, right?
Amen.
Okay, and so, in other words, this is his house.
Amen.
He purchased us with a price, his own blood. We belong to him. This is his house. This is his house.
Amen.
You. This building, what we stand for, this is his house. His entire bride of Jesus Christ, the entire church of God, blood-bought church, is his house. And you know what? In my house, you know what? What makes the rules in my house right? It's because it's my house. The rules I set forth in my house are right in my house because it's my house. And it's my rules. You understand what I'm saying? And so, we are his house. We're bought with a price. And therefore, his opinion should rule. His choice of life, and nothing death, but life and total life should rule and reign. It should have first preeminence in his house. Because it is the household of faith. Right? That's what the scriptures let us know. It's a household of faith. So, his way should be law. I'm sorry, Mr. Obama. I'm not your house. You don't live in me. Your word is not rule in this house. And I can say that about anybody else, any other thing. The house of God, the rules of his house is what's enforced and what is believed and what is adhered to. Not God legalism necessarily. Like I said a while ago, he gives you free will agent. He wants you to choose. He's not going to make you. He's not going to force you. He's not going to threaten you to hang you over hell. We know that has its place to cause people to repent. But he's not going to force you into obedience of his word. He's not going to force you into obedience to the law of his household by fear. He's going to give you free choice. But he will, if you make the wrong choices, he will let those things come along and spank you. You will reap what you sow, we know that. But he wants you by choice, and through your walk, you will eventually figure out his ways best. And you'll quit making the wrong choices because you realize where it leads to. That's the Christian walk. That's a perfection that works in our lives. So we'll choose that which is right, and eventually we'll quit making choices that's contrary to his word. We'll make choices that are always, why? Because it's the rule of his house. And if you want to be happy in the household, you got to abide by the rules of the house.
Right.
You break the rules of the house, it ain't the parents that are wrong, it's you.
Yeah.
You're the one. Why? Because it's their house.
Yeah.
You see? And so that's what I tell the world. If you don't want to live by the Bible, then don't claim to be part of it, because you're not. Though he'll judge you as though you are because you claim you are. He'll take you by your word and judge you accordingly. You call yourself the bride of Christ, he will judge you as so. And if you're found mating with someone else, you'll be stoned.
Yeah.
See, you'll be judged because you claim to be. We know that. That's what he's going to do to the harlot system. They claim to be the bride of Christ, and he's going to judge them because of that.
Yeah.
But they're not really. So our testimony is what he goes by. But he wants us to have free moral agent. He gives us that and allows us to make our choices. So this is his house. We want to live by his house. Remember Brother Ram talked, live by the rules of the house. Brother Ram talked about in marriage and divorce. He said, we want to go east. And somebody said, well, Brother Brandon, we could go this way. So, well, yeah, that's potentially east, but that's southeast. We could go this way, and that's potentially east because it's northeast. But we want to go east. He said, you'll miss what you're looking for if you go this way, potentially east, or potentially east like that. You want to go due east. This is what the example he gave in marriage and divorce. And he was talking about the legalistic Arminian side and the overly abundant grace side of the Calvinist. And he talked about how he gave the example of him and his wife. He said, when I get ready to go overseas, he said, I'll gather my family around. He said, I don't say, now listen here, Miss Branham, I'm going overseas, and if you go out with any other man while I'm gone, when I come back, you're a divorced woman. See, that's that fear legalism side he was given. See, that was the Armenian belief system. They were real strict like that. And he said, then the other side to it is, that's southeast. Then you could go to northeast. And could say, and there's an element that's kind of right in that, in the fact that you do that, you're going to be in trouble when I get back. But then there's this other side that's too far the other direction. And he says, well, my wife won't care. I'll just go out with somebody when I'm over there. You go out with somebody, he don't care. He said, if I don't care, I don't love her properly.
Yeah.
There's a key there. Yeah. If I don't care, and I go do stuff I shouldn't do, that I don't love her probably. Over here, I don't do it because I'm afraid I'll get cast to hell because of it.
Yeah.
And over here, I think, well, grace will just cover it. I'll just do whatever I want to. That's the two ways. And there's an element of truth in all that, because there is grace to cover it. And you should be afraid. Not, you understand it. But he gives, he said, but the real way is so that in your heart you want to do what's right.
Yeah.
And that's the right direction. And so God wants you to see and abide by the rules, and eventually you'll figure out that you need to do that because all of his ways lead to life.
Yes.
All of it. There's no death in him. There's no failure in him. It all leads to life. And so, this is his house. So you see, he's holy, and all these people are holy. And the walk of life that pleases him is a holy walk. It's a holy way. So you find out that as he is set apart, just naturally by his character, he stands alone because there's no one else like him. Then we are called for His purpose and drawn into His presence, and we begin to take upon us the nature that we are sanctified to for His purpose, so we become holy too, and that because His ways are totally different than everything else, His ways are life and everything else is death, then we automatically, it begins to work us in us, the Christian experience begins to work in us, to whereas we become more like Him, we become a holy people, a separated people, a people different than all the rest. A people that's zealous of good works, as the Scripture said. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Everybody follow that. So as you get near Him, His nature begins to come upon you, you begin to walk in holiness. If you walk the way He wants you to walk, if you gird up the loins of your mind, if you don't fashion yourself after the former lust, you are already expressing holiness. Right? Because you're not like the rest of the world. You're not like your former lust. Wow, you're beginning to express everything that pertains to life. Everything that means life pertains to life. If God's opinion of a woman, of what she should be, as far as a woman being married to her husband, she should be an honored and cherished thing, not a sex object. If God thinks that, and He does, that she should be honored and cherished, and the husband should honor her as the weaker vessel, and he should do everything to save her and help her and keep her as the weaker vessel because Christ did the church. If that's His opinion, and it is His opinion, then how could we, if we're walking in holiness, how could we ever watch videos or movies or be involved in conversations that degrades her and makes her just a sex object? Could never be engaged in that kind of thing because that's not God's opinion, and I'm not going to be partakers of things that's contrary to life. See? The church world wants to call itself religion, but they've never tapped into Him, or those things would begin to come on them, and they would begin to feel conviction and get away from those things. You see, understand what I'm saying? So the position of a woman, her apparel, and the way men should conduct themselves, and everything about the Christian life, it's all pertaining to life, and if we want to live, that's where we need to gather around, and anything outside of that promotes life, and that's the rest of the world. Because they've never tapped into Christ. That's the thing I'm talking about. And so, He's holy and His people are holy, and we have a holy lifestyle. We are set apart from the world. But what are we set apart from? Well, I've already said it, but we're going to talk about it just a little bit. What are we set apart for? What is the way of holiness? Well, first of all, I want to tell you, as you've already gathered, it's a choice. Free moral agent. God's not going to make you walk in a way of holiness. But He's going to present it there, and He's going to woo you, and He's going to show you in His Word. But ultimately, your adherence to walking in a holy lifestyle is going to be your choice. You're going to have to flesh it out. See? You're going to have to put that. You're going to have to make the choice to glorify God in your body. As well as in your spirit, in your mind. Not just your soul. And remember, your soul, He's constant with God. But your spirit needs checked, and your body needs to be checked. So He says, to the believer, you're saved, you're elect, you got that in your soul, but your flesh and your spirit have to be reined in. You've got to glorify God in your flesh and in your spirit. And that's something that He's not going to do for you. He wants us to make that choice. So it's holiness is a choice. God is a God of diversity. Believe that? Yeah. He's a God of diversity. And I don't hope this doesn't get all mixed up here. I'm going to say it this way, and I hope I can get the point across. He's a God of diversity, and because of that, He's a God of diversity because He's a God of contrast. And you can't have contrast if you don't have diversity. So He's a God of diversity, He's a God of contrast, and He's a God of contrast because He's a God of testing. He has to test you, and in order to test you, there's got to be things to choose from. So there has to be a diversity. There has to be contrast. There has to be choice. So He's a God of testing. He's a God of choice. He's a God of free moral agent. So He's a free moral, you are a free moral agent And he wants you, in your free moral agency, he wants you to be able to make choices, so he puts a test before you. And the test he has to put before you has to consist of diversities for you to choose from. It can't all, every spirit out there can't be Holy Spirit. Every way out there can't be the right way. See what I'm saying? He places it. It has to be that way. It's all by him and for him. It's for his purpose, right? Just like Eve. It being a byproduct was for his purpose to bring these things to pass. That's what it is. It was his purpose. So he has to give us diversity. He has to place this out. So that now you have to wake up and go, oh no, which do I do? Which is the right way? What's the right path? What's the right decision? That's what he places before you. And all this is to bring to pass your choice. Choice is everything, saints. Choice is everything. Remember when Danny Henry walked up to Brother Branham, a Baptist boy, never knew nothing about speaking in tongues. He walks up to Brother Branham to hug his neck and begins to speak in tongues. Never spoke in tongues, been around it all his life. Spoke in tongues, and when he spoke, it was perfect French. And there was three different people there that spoke fluent French, and they interpreted and said, that don't need interpretation, that's French. And they wrote down, each one of them wrote down separately what the message said, and they brought the notes together, and they all three said exactly the same thing. And in that message, it was a message to Brother Branham from God. It said, you have chosen the harder path, but it's my way. And you've chosen it. And because you've made this choice, a huge portion of heaven awaits you. Choice is has everything in the world to do with it. You see what I'm saying? And so, he wants us to have our free... We have free moral agent. We make choice. But he has to play this all out to give us that choice so that we make the right choice that agrees with him, and there's a reward because of it. Everybody follow that. There was a reward because Brother Graham chose the harder way, but it was God's way, and he did it by his own choosing. God said so. In other words, at some point in Brother Graham's life, he had the ability that he could have chose a different route. But he chose the hard route, even though he knew it would be more sleepless nights, more fighting with the devil. He chose the harder way. You got that? He chose the harder way, not the easy way. Amen. Deer out in the woods, we've been out deer hunting. The deer, unless they're pressured, they take the easy route. You can find their trails. But you let one shot be fired and they won't travel that trail. They'll take this right up a cliff like that if they have to. Because they're under pressure. Yeah. See? Well, the safest way is always the harder way. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. From that standpoint, the safest way is the harder way. And Brother Branham chose the harder way, and then God spoke and said, this is my way. And because you've made that choice, you chose that, a huge portion of heaven awaits you. So choice is everything. When Sister Hattie Wright was given a choice, did she make the right choice? Was she presented with a decision? And was her decision, the decision that she made, did it have eternal impact?
Sure.
Absolutely. Brother Graham said to her, when he was talking about the squirrels being created, and he was telling them about that, she said, Brother Graham, that's nothing but the truth. Because he said, the only thing I think of is just Jehovah Jireh. He just created them squirrels. Just made them. Jehovah Jireh. Just provided it. Just like he provided that sacrifice for Abraham on the mountain. Jehovah Jireh. And it inspired her. And she said the right thing. She said, Brother Graham, that's nothing but the truth. And that pleased God. Your choice can please God or it can disappoint God. Hey, children. Your choices can please your parents, or they can disappoint your parents. Your choices can please God, or your choices can disappoint Him. You're still His son, but correction comes. It'll always be that way. See? But she had a choice given to her. God liked what she said and gave to her a choice. And Brother Rem says, said, the Holy Spirit's here right now telling me, Sister Hattie, to give you what you want. You name it. Whatever you want. The sky's the limit. Just, you understand, I'm just paraphrasing. Whatever you want. Well, I don't know what to choose, Brother Branham. He said, well, there, you know, ask for, if you're poor, you only, he said, they only made about $200 a year. That little farm they had. Only about $200 a year. Said, you're poor. Ask for $1 million and see if it don't land in your lap. You got a sister sitting there that's crippled. Ask for her healing and see if God don't give it. Listen, Brother Branham talked about they had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for that girl's healing and she never got it. But in that moment, he said, if you say it, that's what's going to happen. And she looked around the room and she had a choice. And now, what was most important to her? What was most important? Said, you know what? You can have $1 million. And in her mind, I know you just had to play out. In her mind, she could have thought, wow, but if I have $1 million, she's not going to be healed. One of my boys are lost. But I could ask for her healing and I'd still be poor. And that might be okay, but my boys are still lost. Because the boys were standing over in the room making fun of a prophet when he was talking about third pool manifestation. You talk about close to blasphemy, that would be close. See? Was it them boys' will that played out what the circumstance was going to be in that situation? Was it what they were doing that affected it? No, it was mama's choice. Like I mentioned that black woman in Memphis last week. It was mama's choice. Mama's got all kinds of things laid before her to choose from. But when her heart's right, when her heart's toward God, her choice will always be in agreement with God. And God will always honor that choice when it agrees with Him. But He can't honor it if it's against it. I'll swing back to the children again. Your parents can never honor you if your choices are contrary to the life of the household. They can never honor it. And you might do it anyway, but their heart will not be with you on that matter. They'll still love you. They'll still be your parents. But wouldn't you want to make your parents happy? Don't you want to please them? Don't you want to please them so they see you growing up to be what they're trying to instill in you? This is what we're talking about. God wants you to grow up in Him in all things in Christ. To grow, and He wants to look at you and see that maturity level in you that you begin to always say and do the right things according to Him. That's what makes your Heavenly Father pleased. That's how you glorify God when you do that. Will the world absolutely explode and split wide open if you go against His will? No. But many times, the price you have to pay when you disobey, when you get down the road and everything unfolds in the way that you don't like it, many times at that point, you would say to yourself, I wish the world would have split wide open back then. Because God knows how to correct. We live in such an ungodly civilization that it makes it very hard for parents to mold and make their children the way they need to and the way the Bible says to do it, because the laws of the land are very contrary to it. You understand what I'm saying? But the principles are still the same. God's word is supreme. And the closer we can adhere to His way, the more life we'll have in us and the more victory that will be there for all of us. And so, God is a God of diversity because He has to give you that choice and He has to lay those things before you. There had to be a Savior. There had to be a fall. For this character, for you to grow and gain that victory, because character is a victory. There had to be opposition, so there has to be those that are contrary. I can't help it. That's God's plan. Not everybody's called to this glorious message. I can't help that. It's His plan, not mine. I'm just glad that He's working with me and revealing to me and revealing to you. So there's those who don't see it, those who can't see it. There had to be a Pharaoh that I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show my glory in you. There has to be that. There has to be diversities. So there's many choices out there. And I said at the beginning, there's many spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit. There's many spirits out there, but only one that's got the character of life. And is always about life. Therefore, He's the one we give honor to. There's many ways to everything. There's many foods that we can eat. Now, what makes one food good and another food bad? Think about it. We all have taste. I think this conversation come up somewhere over the last few days somewhere. Somebody said, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I do. I like that. And I said, well, you know what? To the person, to each person, whatever they like, that's the truth. That's it. That's ultimate. Because it's their taste buds being satisfied. So it is right for them. I don't care how many people hate broccoli. If somebody likes broccoli, then it's right in their household, in their economy. Okay? And so, but that's one thing, preference. Preference. Why? What makes a choice right? Well, it's preference. What makes holiness right? It's God's preference. What makes us in a holy lifestyle to choose that preference? Because we want to walk in life and we want to please our Father and we want to be like our Father. So that's preference. But not, it's not just that. What makes some foods good and right and others wrong? Well, there's some foods that will kill you if you eat it. There are some things you could eat that would kill you. So that in itself has nothing to do with preference. It has to do with the fact it will kill you if you eat it. So just by sheer results of what it produces tells you what's right and it tells you what's wrong. Right? Now take that and apply that. And I'm going to name all kinds of things here, reading off a list. There's many religions. There's a broad spectrum of religions out there. What makes some right or one right and the rest of them wrong? I'll say it that way because there's only one that is right. But what makes it? Well, it's not just preference, even though it is preference, God's preference. So preference dictates that, but it's not just that, but what's the results of it? What does it produce? Does it produce life or does it produce death? Think about that. So the religion that you listen to, that you're partakers of, the ministry that you sit underneath, there's all kinds of them, but you're given a choice. And your choice should be the choice that most accurately follows Father's choice. Right? You're not going to sit under a Jehovah's Witness ministry. Because you can see that does not adhere to Father's plan, His household plans. There's only life that will be there. And you're not going to listen to that because you know that doesn't mimic that dimension that you're wanting to go to. See? That's why I think Eugene Braun years ago, he said a good sheepdog, he'll always take the shepherd to where take the sheep where he last saw the shepherd. He says you can take a shepherd and he can walk down around this hill down out of sight like that, that sheepdog, and maybe that shepherd will come around over here, but the sheepdog don't see him yet, and he'll try to take them sheep right down there where he last saw the shepherd. But once he catches sight of the shepherd again, he'll take him another direction. So it's kind of like the Holy Spirit with the church of God. Last time he saw God moving was in Apostle Paul, so we take him toward Apostle Paul's teachings. Right? Then after many ages, next thing you know, now he's off over here where a prophet's raised up in the end time, and now the Holy Spirit guides us in that direction. The Holy Spirit's not going to just guide us to some previous age. He's going to guide us to where God is presently moving. That's the way it works. So you're not going to go after some ministry that's going to point you to something else. You're going to go toward the ministry and the teachings and the belief that leads you to the most recent appearance of Jesus Christ. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. And by doing that, we're going to be walking closer to Father's household, to that dimension of holiness. You'll be more holy. A holy walk, because that one we seek after, His attributes begin to come upon us. Remember whenever we talked the other day about communion, and when you take communion, you're actually taking of Him. you've become part of this great being, God, Brother Branham said. See, and who is this Melchizedek? You become part of this great being. So, you can think all kinds of thoughts. But how come some thoughts are good and some thoughts are bad? You know that already. You know the answer to that. But I'm pointing out to you, we've got all kinds of choices to make here. You can think the right thoughts or you can think the bad thoughts.
Yeah.
By preferences and by the fruits that they produce, we ought to know what's godly thoughts and what isn't godly thoughts.
Yeah.
And those thoughts translate into words. So your conversation, you can have good conversations, you can have bad conversations.
That's right.
They have to come from thoughts. So if you get your thoughts straight, yours will be straight. Now gird up the loins in your mind. Make it come back to think the right thing. When you think the right thing, you'll say the right thing. Right? This is all about holiness. This is all about walking in a way that the world hates. Because it's the way that's right. It's the way that's got life in it. It's the way that the Father is pleased with. And so your conversations be right when your words are right. There's some places you can go that'll please God, and there's places you can go that don't please God. Right? There's some activities that you can partake of that's pleasing to God, and there's activities that you can partake of that does not please God. Right? Pretty simple. But my point is that all these decisions are here to make, and we need to gird up the loins of our mind to make these decisions more accurately and more properly. Make our choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to serve God and go the places that He wants us to go and do the things He wants us to do? Or are we going to sometimes let ourselves slip up and say and do and go and think and say things that we shouldn't? Or are we going to really be diligent to focus ourselves toward the things that are right? Because it's a choice that we make. It's a choice that God wants us, has given us, and wants us to make. There are some clothes that you can wear that please God. And there are those clothes that you can wear that does not please God. Or the lack thereof that doesn't won't please God. So there's clothes that you can wear. There are types of music. Not all musics are the same. There are spirits behind clothing. There are spirits behind music. Do you realize that I could design a new sports coat? I could go out and design a new sports coat, and I might say this would be a good coat for a preacher. But I could design that, and you know, somebody could get a hold of that, some marketer. And they could go out and take that particular design that nobody's out got, and they could market that and connect it with something ungodly, and a spirit of that ungodliness that they market to it will attach itself to that coat, and somebody can buy one of those and make themselves vulnerable to the very spirit that's attached to it when it was originally designed by a preacher. Now I'm trying to show you here. Spirits attach themselves even to perfumes, to all kinds of things. And that's what we're trying to get at. Is we are given a choice to discern by the Spirit of God and discern and make the right choices of what we permit and what we don't permit. Because if we permit something that's got the wrong thing attached to it, then that's the next devil we have to fight, even if we don't realize what's going on. That's the way it works. It's warfare is really what it is. So there's types of music. But you know what? Now, I remember saying this here a year or so back, and maybe said it several times, but Brother Branham talked about the name Elvis. He said that, and Ricky. So his name couldn't even be spoken till this day. And we showed how when those locusts come out and those spirits come out and things come forth on the earth that had been bound up, that was released, that couldn't have happened until today, but it was released to happen this day. And one of those things that come from that was rock and roll music. Now listen, the vision the prophet had of that worldly church and the bride was marching to onward Christian soldiers, right? Onward Christian soldiers. But may I ask you, what was that other group marching to? Somebody want to say it? Brother Daniel? Rock and roll. That other church that went off and they were shimmying and marching to rock. But they're a church. They're a church. They got music, but it's the wrong music. It's got the wrong spirit behind it. Oh, it's gospel words, but wrong spirit. A song or a jacket that was created for the right thing, hijacked by the devil, just like he hijacked the human race. Those things you couldn't have. Go search your history. It wasn't until this day that the church could get involved and begin to bebop. In this day, it's never been. It was always the good old gospel, good old fashioned songs they used to sing. Right? It's this day that it took a transformation. Now I'm going to say this because this is what I want you to understand. When you make a choice to feed on, to go to, do, whatever, think, whatever, you associate yourself with the spirits behind that wrong thing. If it's the wrong thing you're choosing. But if you choose the right thing, now you're associating yourself with the right spirit, the right one, God. It's cut and dry. Black is still black, white's still white. We choose the right thing, we get more fellowship, more anointing of the Holy Ghost. You choose the wrong thing, you get the wrong spirit. And we got a church world today that's going to march over into damnation around the curve of the earth while the other one's going to heaven, bebopping to rock and roll music. We got a church, we got women representing church, women that wants to jump up on the highway of holiness going to heaven and says to a prophet, I'll show you that I can wear high heel shoes and do this. Yeah. And she went right up there trying it and fell right off in the hill screaming. I know it was a dream, but Brother Graham said it was right. He said it was right. See what I'm saying? Choose the right thing, see? So there's a clothing that you can wear that's right, or there's clothes you can wear that's wrong. There's music you can listen to that's right, there's music you can listen to that's wrong. Don't listen to the words. That's okay. You can listen to them. That's not what you want to look at. You want to look at what's behind it. I've seen, I'm not going to call them sisters, but I've seen women who dressed, if you looked at the outward, they dressed with a long skirt, but he had a spirit on them that would lead to adultery. I've seen it. Even though from the outward, you've got to look at the spirit behind it, okay? Stop just saying, well, it's good music, good words. Oh, and it, you know, it looks... Whatever, you look at the inspiration. You look at the spirit that's attached to that thing. Because if the world is marking the wrong spirit on it, and you partake of it, then you look like the world. You smell like the world. You've got a spirit like the world on you. You understand? So we've got to gird up the Lord and be more certain with these decisions. Investigate the stuff and look at it and pray it out and choose the right thing. That's what we have to do. Still talking on the topic of holiness, the way of holiness. What is the way of holiness? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not the world. It's not their way. It's God's way. So there's clothing, music, the type of entertainment you're involved in. Oh, and another thing you have to look for is, oh, it's nice, godly, but they slip in one or two little things in there. And it's what we do with that. And when we see that, and we go, hey, well, it's okay, you know, then we're already slipping. You don't want to do that. You want to be very firm. What is the devil? Call it the devil and treat him like the devil. So there's a choice of candidates to vote on. There's a choice of organizations that you can support. You can support an organization that supposedly helps the needy and all that. You can do that, but you better investigate it. See? Better investigate it. You got to know what it is you're reporting. Remember how I said when somebody comes in, they're teaching a different doctor or something like that, and somebody comes in and don't bid them Godspeed. If you even bid them Godspeed, your partakers are their evil deeds. Says the scriptures, right? See, it's a lot stricter than what we you know, and yet it's full of grace. It's full of grace. Why? Because it's walking in the right way that makes it right. Because it's his household. And so, there's different lifestyles that you can choose from. There's different work ethics. A lazy man does not honor God.
That's right.
You can have a good work ethic or you can have a bad work ethic. You see what I'm saying? And in all these things, we have a choice. And in all these things, we can glorify God or we can glorify the devil. In all these things. And it all goes back to choice, free choice. But he's given us the intelligence. He's given us the godly understanding now to know that we have. And I like what Brother Daniel said at the beginning of the service. You know what? We can take this word and we can soar. We can take this thing. I don't care what you see unfolding out in front of you. Just take that word and see if you don't feel it. Feel the wind moving in that promise.
Yeah.
In those promises of God. And as long as you know they're there, you can flop them wings whenever you need to escape whatever danger comes your way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? What I just described to you is every choice that you're faced with. Every choice you're faced with, you got to feel for those promises and flop away from that bad choice and make the right choice.
Amen.
In all these things, your lifestyle, work ethics, you have a choice in who you marry. I'll say that to the young people because they're not married yet. You have a choice. And if you see somebody that you know that she or he is not living in a way that adheres to Father's will, you better not choose them. I don't care how pretty they are on outside. You look on the spirit inside. That's what you got to do. Choices. So we all have these choices, but only the choices that please God are the choices that produce holy lifestyle. Holiness. Walking in a manner that mimics, or I won't say mimic, but it's actually the reality. It's the holiness of God. It's not a mimicking thing, but if you understand what I'm saying, it's the real thing. It's not a fake thing to walk into things that produces godliness in your life. That's a holy walk, a holy lifestyle. And this is why the real Christian believer is set apart from the world. It can't be. You cannot be a pleaser of man and pleaser of God. It don't work. The Scripture says so. We have to be a separated people. Now, I must say this because it comes to mind. We live in this politically correct day. And do you see what's going on? God created all this diversity, and we have to choose from the right and wrong. The world wants to come on and make everything the same. Everybody's all the same. All the colors the same. All the people the same. All the religions the same. All the same. Well, if we're all the same, if you went out into your flower garden and every one of those flowers was a rose, how drone would that be? I like roses, but would you want nothing but roses? God's flower garden is a diversity, and he tells us, don't mix these things up, right? In the Scripture, don't mix your seeds and hybrid and all that sort of thing. It's his flower garden. He wants the diversities or they wouldn't be there. So he made them that way. And there's all kinds of diversities of people. There's all kinds of diversities of choices of this and that. You can choose where to buy your food at and all that. You got all kinds of choices. And so God made them that way. And he tells us he don't want us to destroy all that, but the world wants to mix everything and make it a global economy, global this, global that. The only true global anything is in Jesus Christ. Because you can take the diversities of the Mexican people, you can take the diversities of people over in Finland, and you can take the diversities of people here in the United States from them, and they're all different. They eat different foods. They look different. They talk different. They have different languages. There's all kinds of differences, but the Christian believer under this message in Mexico and the ones in Finland and the ones here in the United States, they come together and instantly it's like you've known them all your life. Now what does that say? Because there are diversities, but under the Holy Spirit, those diversities can be conquered to become one in Christ. But that doesn't take away the diversities. He didn't tell you to take away the diversities. See? He didn't tell you to say, well, we're all in Christ now. Let's all become one. We'll all mix and mingle and marry all kinds of whatever. And just anything goes because we're in Christ. That's not what he teaches. That's contrary to even nature. See what I'm saying? But we live in an age where they want to blend everything together. And whenever everything is blended together, nothing sticks out and set apart anymore. Nothing sticks out different that's able to be something that everybody else can't be. Therefore, God is no longer God, because everything owes the Son. I defy that thought. I defy this age and this generation's idea to take God down from the place where He belongs and to make every religion the same. They're not the same. God is alone. He's the only one to be worshipped. And nobody else has those characters. I don't care what they claim. And His way is the right way, and the walk of His walk is the right walk. And that's all there is to it. I can't help it if they don't like it. They won't live in His house. He won't let them stay there. He won't let them be there if they don't live by His rules. He's not letting them go to heaven if they don't let that become their who they are. You understand what I'm saying? Though He'll come down and He'll visit. He'll come down and woo and care and take care of humanity and do all the things. Let the blessings fall on the just and the unjust. He'll do all that, but nobody gets to go to His house and live in His house unless they live right. You see that? Did I say something wrong? Nobody's going there if they're still a liar. Nobody's going there if they're still a thief. Nobody's going there if they got a spirit of adultery. You understand what I'm saying? They're not going there if they believe three gods. They're not going there. He won't let them there because He has a gate. He has a wall that Donald Trump talks about. He's very much about keeping out those who don't belong. And He's going to do it. He'll come and bless and do everything in the world, but we're not going there if we don't tally up. Why? Because it sounds harsh. But if you let death in there, now you don't have eternal life.
Right.
Now you don't have a dimension that's so sublime beyond sublime. You've got something else filthy there. And that's why he has to control. Why? Because sinners would undermine the kingdom of heaven. Just like letting in people who want to destroy America. They shouldn't be left here because they want to destroy us. Otherwise, they could be. If they want to be part of it, it's fine. You see, God's not going to let those things in there because they would absolutely destroy heaven from within the borders of heaven, and He's not going to let them do it. So you understand what I'm saying. I mean, this is not a political... I'm just showing you the parallels. These things are before us, and everything that happens on the landscape, politically, and all that, they all tie into what God's trying to tell us spiritually for our day. And so we want to capitalize on that and understand... The black still has to be black. White still has to be black. White, and there still has to be borders. You've got to put borders up. You've got to say it's still wrong to believe in false doctrine. We're not all the same. There is a difference. A people that's different, so sanctified as a holy people, a godly people. They're not all the same. That's what they tried to tell the children of Israel and Moab. Oh, we're all one. Come on, we can marry and intermarry. And a prophet said God never forgave them for it. Let me tell you something. There won't be any second chances after this age is over with. We've got to choose the right choices because there's not going to be time after this age to come around and back up and make it right. See, we want to be a people who's walking in holiness. So you see, God is holy. His people is holy. Their walk is holy. And every bit of it speaks of a class of people. Not that we're trying to be better than anybody else, but a people that walks different than the world, that has things rested in among them that the rest of the world doesn't have. Because there's a holy God among them. That makes the difference. That's why Brother Daniel talks about the things that goes on over there at work. It's a good thing that that company recognizes the God that lives in it. And they actually make decisions. Business decisions to accommodate Brother Daniel. We were talking about that earlier. They'll be blessed because of that. See? And you can bless that. You can bless that because they honor Him and because He's honoring God. You see, you can get behind something like that, but when they don't, if they were behind His back making snide remarks and trying to figure out every way in the world to make it hard for Him to be what He wants to be as a Christian, you couldn't support that. You couldn't amen that. And unfortunately, most of the world's that way. They don't care. But regardless of what they are, we still stand alone as a people. Separate, daring to live a holy lifestyle with the character and nature of God. So how do we glorify God? Well, you glorify Him in your body and in your spirit. Amen. let the musicians come. You love it? I'm glad for God's instruction. And what I said this morning is just as much to Brother Tony as it is to you, and probably more so. And I feel the hand of the Lord heavy upon me all the time. Our walk needs to be better. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be greater. And so I just want to share that with you, that with you this morning. Sometimes all week long, you know, there'll be something that the Lord will give me, and that'll be the thing. And there'll be other things I'll rejoice in all along the way, and different things. But that one thing is what comes all the way through the week and keeps its head sticking up there. This is where you need to go this weekend. There are other things I could have talked about, see, but that's the thing that keeps his head stuck up. So that's the thing that I know that's what the Lord wants me to share with you this morning. So we thank him for this. Bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, Lord, as we always share the Word of God and minister to your people, and realizing that it's a big, huge bill to fill. And Lord, we know in ourselves we're not able to do it in ourselves. But Lord, we also see your promises laid there in your Word, and we see you moving in this day with a great message, Lord, showing that you are acting out and playing out, and you're coming down and living in oneness with your bride to actually live and do the very things, Lord, that we in ourselves would shy away from. But yet, Lord, we see you doing it. And we see you doing it in us. We thank you for that, Lord. There's no way that human words could ever express, Lord, the thankfulness of seeing you move in a way that you're moving to bring to pass your word in our lives. And Lord, we see that as all the landscape of political decisions and all the things that are going on, it just speaks terror and unrest. But yet, for your little bride, Lord, you promised that there would be a time when that squeeze would come, Lord, that you would bring that fullness. The very words that spoke squirrels into existence and got rid of a storm and got rid of a tumor, those words, that ministry would be so alive in your bride, it would be made manifest in the fullness of its power. Lord, we believe that time is coming. We don't understand how to get here, how it all works, but we believe by faith that when that time comes, Lord, that thing will rise up within us, and Lord, that third full ministry will come forth just like you promised. We're banking on that, Lord. We're trusting in that. We give our whole life to you, Lord, knowing that if you don't fulfill that promise in us, then there's coming a time, Lord, we as a people who desire to be a holy people, a people who desire to live different than the rest of the world, we realize there is a time coming that we will be sitting ducks if you don't fulfill your promise. But we know you will. So by faith, we march to that day, that time, when that great moment comes, Lord, when you rise up in your people and full anointing in this world, Lord, we'll say goodbye to it. I pray, God, that you'd help each one as they go forth from the service today. Lord, you'd help them to make those choices. Lord, let them to be anointed by your Spirit just to look at every decision and investigate it and just dissect it and find out what it's all about, Lord. May you give them the anointing and discernment to recognize things, Lord. That their choices would be right. That their mind, their thoughts would be right. We ask, God, that you'd help them in this way. Believe that you will. Commit them and this that's been said in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.
That is why. Maybe this that song, You're Alone. I'm not sure if I'm going to remember, but anyway.
You know, how many believes He is your righteousness while they're looking at that song?
Yes. Amen.
He is your righteousness. I would like you to do something sometime when you want to go before the Lord. Play it out in your mind. You walk up and you take Him wrong. Wrapped around. And walk up in the presence of God in prayer. He will hear you. Because you go with His righteousness. It makes all the difference. You know, we need His favor. The world thinks they got His favor because they got riches and all those things, but they missed something. You know, the King Ahasuerus, he wasn't looking for another Vashti, which means beauty. He wasn't looking for that. That little bitty Esther. They saw out one that was better than Vashti. And it was Esther. He looked at the character she had. That's what he's looking for. Let's just sing this to the Lord for some reason.
You are not a God created.
Sing that song to the Muslims. My Bible tells me that He'll fight my battles. I don't have to pick up a sword in the natural. I told somebody the other day at work, I said, you know what? Elijah, he called for a showdown. He said, let the God that answers by fire, let Him be God. I'd like to challenge on that. I can't do it myself, but Christianity is right.
Yeah.
And if your God is so great, why do you have to pick up weapons to accomplish what you say He wants done when my God does what He wants just in the faith of His people?
Yeah.
Right? That's how we know. See, that's one of the ways we know. It's because He's God alone. He's holy. That song, I didn't know the words to that song, but that tune was through my head this morning, and I wanted to ask Brother Tim to sing that because I believed that the words would agree with what I told you this morning, and it does. He's God alone. He has that position, and I defy any people, any belief system, anything, any government that wants to say that Jesus Christ is not what the Bible says He is. Amen. So God bless you. I hope I didn't drag you down in any way. That's just how I feel about the situation. But we're coming to that showdown, no doubt. Brother Branham talked about millions would be counted as fodder for atomic age. And so that time's come. But you know what? You and I get to go. We get to go in a body change. We don't have to worry about it. Amen. God bless you.